Candace and Laura, two of our young moms from the church. Yeah, there's just no good way of saying puke, huh? Just get puke all over me. Ushers, I'm going to ask you to come and receive the tithes and offerings this morning. And the special guest is divided into four wonderful women of God. And I'm going to introduce those in just a moment and have them come and share with you. But I'd like to have you, first of all, watch this video with me. I chose to show you that video, realizing full well that many of you were brought up and you didn't have a godly mom. I've heard a lot of stories over the last 30 plus years of ministry, and if we had time to hear all of your stories, I can guarantee that some of the ways that you were brought up would cause us to laugh. Some of them would cause us to cry. Some of them were wonderful stories, and some of them were tragic stories. But there is such a thing as a godly woman, and the reason I wanted you to see that is because every woman here who's a mother, every woman who is here who plans on being a mother, can be a godly mother. And when you choose to be a godly mother, you pass on a heritage, a legacy to your children. See, godly moms want to pass on to their kids certain things. My mom passed on to me a number of things. She passed on to me and taught me about receiving. She used to say, when you get home, you're going to get it. She taught me about logic, because I said so. Taught me about divine healing. It's just a scrape. Get up, you'll be okay. My mother taught me about osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your food. Moms pass all different types of things on to their kids. I've invited four women of God to share with us this morning. I heard them the first service. You're going to be very thankful that you're not listening to me speak this morning. But there are four ladies, and if you wouldn't mind standing, I'd like to just introduce them. We gave them flowers this morning, and one of our speakers is Sandy Nemeth here. She led the worship. She's our ministry director, and she's allergic to lilies. And so on Easter, we can't have any lilies. Some of you may thought we just don't decorate for Easter, and the truth is that she just goes into we won't describe what she goes into, but she has a tough time breathing and stuff. So Sandy Nemeth is going to be sharing this morning and summing up the comments that will be made and sharing some comments that God has given to her as well. Sandy not only leads our ministry of music, but she's a mother in her own right in a spiritual sense. She has given birth to so many, many young women and mothers them, and boys as well. I don't know if all of you know this, but Pastor Andrew, our executive pastor, he plays the piano and he leads in worship occasionally. She actually taught him as a little boy how to play and how to minister. So she's a spiritual mom. We have Stacy Stockton. Would you just raise your hand? Stacy's a mother of five and going to be sharing some important stuff with you. Wonderful to have her and her family sitting right back here to listen to you, Stacy. Sylvia, would you raise your hand? Sylvia does a phenomenal job overseeing our children's ministries. I hope they're not suffering now because you're in here, Sylvia, but I know that they're not because you have mentored some wonderful, wonderful leaders. But she's going to be sharing first up. She'll be taking the first swing. And then over here, the shortest among us, she's stand up, honey, would you please? Well, you're going to get it when you get home, I'll tell you that. Donna's my wife of 35 years, mother of two children, and now a grandmom, and I've asked her to share her heart as well. I've asked all four of them to share, what would you pass on to your children? What is it that you as a godly mom want to pass on to your kids? So Sylvia, if you'll come and start this morning, let's welcome them and receive the word of the Lord from them.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a privilege to speak to you all. I want to speak on behalf of all of us. None of us profess to be experts in this area. We are in this race, taking it day by day, just as the rest of you are. But whether you are mothering babies or toddlers or school-age children, as I am, or you are parenting teens and 20s or even grown children, the challenges and the opportunities are still ours. I would like to share with you 5 core values every child should know that I would want to pass on to my children. I hope I am, and that hopefully you will want to do the same. So you note takers, get ready. Here they come. Number 1, we want our kids to know I am made in God's image, and He wants to have a relationship with me. Kids need to know that they are not a product of evolution. They are a product of God's love. He is their father and their shepherd. Their worth is not based even on how much we love them, and definitely not on what society says they are worth. Their worth is based on the fact that a loving God created them differently, uniquely, and individually. Matthew 10 and Luke 12 tells us that even the hairs on our head are numbered. And more than facts about God, because even the devil knows all about God, our children need to know Him in a personal and relational way. And this is a lifelong process, I'm sure you will agree. It continues from the time that we are saved for the rest of our lives. There are some people, men and women, mothers and fathers, who are so in tune to God and to their relationship with God that they hear Him speak to them frequently. He speaks to their hearts and to their minds. And I hate you people because, no, I'm just kidding. This is, you know, it's a wonderful thing, but it is a lifelong growing process. And right now, I need to speak to some of you, you busy, busy, busy moms, and I am one of you. And hear me in this, because I'm speaking to myself just as much as I am to you. We are not going to be sensitive to hearing from God if we do not learn to be still and to take the time to dig in and study and know His word. Okay, are you convicted? Because I am. So I'm moving on to 2. We want our kids to know that God will live within me. What makes a Christian special? We all look the same on the outside. They need to know that it's what's on the inside that is different. And I'm sure many of you know 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says that he who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We need our kids to know that God's power, wisdom, and character are available to them through the Holy Spirit. Okay? They need to know that they can draw upon that, God's power, character, and wisdom. My husband and I have told our children from very early on, and some may call it brainwashing, but we want them to get used to the idea that our family is different. We are never going to do the same things and behave the same way that other families do. And as they are now in elementary school, all 3 of them, and I have 1 grown son, we're using these words more and more often. Like, no, baby, we don't talk like that. And no, our family doesn't believe that. We don't behave that way. And it's not okay for us to watch those movies or to hear those songs or to dress in that fashion. And it's not that we want our kids to be judgmental. We just want them to be non-conforming. And for right now, and I know you may laugh because it may just be for right now, they're okay with that. In fact, I think it kind of makes them feel special and set apart, and so they should. 3, we want our kids to know that I am to grow spiritually. Kids need to know that how I act and how I think matters, because sin begins in our minds. But with the Holy Spirit, we do, again, have the ability to change, to resist sin, and to allow God to work His will in our lives. Okay, I want to repeat that again. Kids need to know that with the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to resist sin, to change, and to allow God to work His perfect will in our lives. The kids need to be ready to have God change their thoughts, which manifests itself in their attitudes, their words, and their actions. Our perfection is in seeking what is true and what is good. Let me read to you Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers, this is beautiful, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Number four, you knew this one was coming. Treat others the way I want to be treated. Had to be in there, right? We're relational creatures. And God wants us not only to have a relationship with Him, but also with others. And today we're seeing kids more and more isolating themselves through the use of technology. They're sitting for hours in front of video games and computer screens and texting and walking around with earphones in their heads, in their ears. But do they know how to meet new people? Do they know how to carry on conversations? Do they know how to tune in to the hearts and the hurts of others? We need to train our kids how to treat others with respect. We need to train our kids how to relate to the opposite sex, how to relate to their peers, how to relate to adults, how to relate to authority, and yes, even how to relate to their enemies. Number five, and this is a good one. What God wants is more important than what I want. Okay, our kids need to know it, and so do we. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." It's a very simple, yet profound and very difficult way to live. We have got to start telling ourselves and our kids, stop living for what you want and start living for what God wants. In short, we need to teach them self-control and contentment. Okay? We need to teach ourselves and our kids self-control and contentment. I want to share with you that before I was walking my Christian walk, I was an extremely driven woman. I wanted more and more career and political successes. I wanted more and more material things. I wanted more interesting relationships and experiences. And yet, while even in the midst of all this, I knew and felt deep down that I may not ever be satisfied. And that was a scary feeling. It was not a good feeling. And I want to share the words to a song, just a few words. And yes, you may thank me for not singing it for you. There's a song that says, "There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and the restless soul is searching." Some of you recognize it. "There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and it's a void only He can fill." Now, I want to tell you that even after God filled that void in my life, I still had those tendencies. And I am still learning day by day to have some self-control and to be content with what I have and where I am in life. This is a very important point. Bottom line. Okay, we got those five real quick. Bottom line. Here's my advice to you moms, those mothering, and even for you dads. We can only take our kids as far as we have gone. So I have three recommendations for you. Number one, keep reading His word. Number two, keep listening for His voice. And finally, keep praying. And eventually, I'm claiming that we will see our kids become more and more like Christ. And is there anything more that a mom could want for her babies? Thank you.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about passing on the value of godly character. And before I do, I wanted to read from Philippians about what kind of character that we want to have and be an example of. This is Philippians 2, 1 through 8. "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not demand and cling to His rights as God. He made Himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. And this is just a glimpse into some of the aspects of Jesus' character. And I've learned the value of character in different ways in my life, and one of those has been through failure. And I remember a time when I was standing at one end of my hallway, and one of my teenage daughters was at the other end of the hallway, and she was throwing a fit. She was having a complete meltdown. And at that time, it was as if a light shined upon her, and I heard the Lord speak to me and say, "Mother, observe thyself." And it really hurt. And, you know, I felt I had really messed up, and I was torn. But, you know, God can help us in the midst of failure. And 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, I can't see, says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret." You know, and the Lord can help us even in failure. When we humble ourselves and we ask our Heavenly Father to forgive us and we ask our children to forgive us, you know, that in itself, asking our children to forgive us, it shows the humbling character of Jesus. But there is a better way to learn the value of character, and that's by living godly character and having godly character. And what character that has value for a godly woman and as a mother is when what I say I believe and how I live come together. That's character. And true ministry happens in the lives of our children when we have godly character. It shows them that the Word of God is real and it's true. And it gives them the ability to know that this message of Jesus works. And we know that living with godly character is the answer. We know that when we hear little things like, "Mommy, pray for my owie. Mommy, I'm sorry I lied. Mommy, some kids were picking on Johnny at school today, and I was the only one who stood up for him. Mommy, I asked Jesus into my heart today in Sunday school. Mom, we're having a debate in biology on evolution and creation. Can you help me look up some information in scriptures on creation? Honey, how come you're not going out with your friends tonight? Oh, they're going to a party, and I just don't want to be part of that. Mom, I'm going to Bible study. Be back at 9. It's when we hear things like that, that our hearts as mothers swell. You know, I'm not a perfect mom, and I didn't have a perfect mom, but I was raised by a godly mother, and I try to live my life as a godly mother. And I hope that, you know, what I've learned is what I want is at the end of my life, or I shouldn't say the end of my life, when my kids leave my house and leave their father and I want them to take Jesus with them. And hopefully I've lived a life that has shown them and always pointed to Jesus as the ultimate example of character, even though I myself at times have failed to live that character. And if I do that, if I live my life as a living testimony, I'm not going to have to worry about, at the end of my days, talking to my children and explaining to them the value of character. They're going to know, because they're going to have seen it lived in my life and felt through the touch of my hand.
You know, on Mother's Day, it always is one where we can be weepy, so moms cry. That's what we do. I've been privileged to talk about passing on faith to our children. And, of course, the scripture always comes to mind, Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith, it's so important as mothers and as grandmothers. Since I've entered into that era, I always have to include that now. It's important for us to pass on faith to our children and to our grandchildren, a faith that is firm enough to stand the test of life and that is strong enough to face every circumstance that our children will face. Because there's things that our children face today that we never had to face. The enemy is hurling much stronger darts, it seems, at our kids today. There is so much that is aimed at them to destroy them. So we must give them an example of what true faith is. Who God is. A faith that says God is trustworthy and true. You know, and the way that we find out that our faith is strong or weak is through testing. You know, it's we don't have a little gas gauge. We don't have a little faith gauge that tells us, oh, today your faith is really full, and oop, I better watch it, my faith is low. We don't have that, but thank you, Jesus, that you send us testings. And I can say that by faith, that I'm thankful for that. But there's times in our life when there's areas in us, there are weaknesses, there are vulnerabilities in us that God needs to transform. He needs to touch. He needs to change us. So he sends the Holy Spirit and says, okay, let's touch him here and let's touch him here and expose things. So the Holy Spirit begins to help us uncover some things in our life. Then he helps us to recover some things in our life. And then he helps us to discover things in our life. You know, in uncovering, he wants to deal with our lives in a way that we will understand. And many times it comes through pain. And let me tell you, we understand pain, don't we? We do. When it hurts, we begin to cry and we want to find relief. And that relief should be found in an almighty, loving God. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes we run the opposite direction. But God wants to better equip us by touching these areas to make us stronger to stand for him. And you know, when we stand as moms, and godly grandparents, we don't just stand faithful for ourselves, we shelter our children. Did you realize that? When we are godly mothers and godly grandmothers and or godly foster moms, godly people who raise children, we stand and shelter our children from the onslaught of the enemy. It's a great responsibility, a great responsibility. Now, I had two godly grandmothers in my life, and I was so thankful for them. And I had a godly mother. But in the days when I was really young, my mom and dad married very, very young, in their teens, and I mean young teens. And they walked away from the Lord. They had been raised in church. They knew the Lord, but they had decided that they wanted to go their own way. And my grandma Blaylock, that's my mom's mom, she knew the value of making a firm foundation in the faith of Jesus Christ and in knowing God. So my grandmother would come and get me every weekend. She would get myself and my sister. My sister was 15 months older than I was. And so my mom says she rocked three cradles, my dad, my sister, myself. But my grandmother would come and pick me up every week and take me to church. And she contended for my life, for a godly life. And you know what? She contended for a healing for me. I was born with club feet, and I could not walk when I was really young. She would take me every week, and she would lay me on that altar with the elders of the church, and she would pray for me. And she would pray for me, and God healed me. He healed me through the faith of a grandmother, a godly grandmother, who dared to pray and who dared to bring her grandchild to church. Well, when I was 7, my grandmother was tragically killed in a fire. And it brought my parents, it caught my mom by surprise. But, you know, it's kind of an iffy thing when things like this happen. My mom could have become very bitter that her mother had been taken from her. Or she could embrace the Lord. Well, she chose to embrace the Lord. She chose, her and my dad both, chose to thank the Lord for that touching of their lives and bringing them back to the place that they should be. And I tell you that because they began bringing me to church every week. My mom realized that she needed to step up to the plate and she was to be that spiritual covering for me and for my sister from then on. I had lost my grandmother and now she knew that it was her place to instill faith and a foundation of faith in me. And so they came back to church. They gave me a great example of what it is to serve. And so then when I was age 8, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke my first sermon in church. I was in children's church. I preached for the first time. So it's like it set something in my heart. When my grandmother began to take me to church when I was young, it marked my spirit. It marked my spirit. And you can do that too with your children and your grandchildren or foster child or whomever that you may be raising. You can mark their spirit by bringing them into the presence of God. It also helps you to, the Holy Spirit will help you to recover some things that have been lost. And, you know, it's amazing how trials force us back to our first love. They force us to realize what we have set aside, either through busyness or through ignorance or through not realizing what we are doing. We have lost something, and many times it's our relationship with the Lord. Well, when I was in high school, and I tell you this story because it was a foundation of faith that helped me through this situation. When I was in high school, I was singing in a rock band. I loved to sing. That's been a gift that God has given me, and I have loved that. That was a way of expressing myself to Him. But then it went into, you know, I was doing secular songs and things like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. No, but not that means that I can only sing for the Lord. But yet that was what He had called me to do, and I began to violate that. And we were becoming successful. We were going to make it. We had an appointment with a producer. We had met the producer, and he had told us what we needed to do, and he was going to produce a demo for us. And so as we were going, the next day was we were going to do our demo, I heard an audible voice. Probably nobody else could hear it but me. It was late at night, and I heard the voice of the Lord. And because I was young and I had heard the voice of the Lord then when I was younger, I recognized it in my teen years. And he said, "Donna, what are you doing?" I knew it was God. I knew it was His voice. And I began to weep and to cry because I knew I was going against what God had for me. I was participating in things, doing things that were not pleasing to Him. I never went all the way into the world because you know what? When you learn what God has for you and His love and His grace, you also have that fear that's instilled in you. And I couldn't enjoy doing some of those things. And it kept me from doing things. However, when I heard that voice, I knew that I needed to make a decision. And because I had a foundation laid within me of faith and of the Word of God when I was young, I made the right decision. And you can see what decision I made. I am now here, 35 years later. Amen. I am here serving the Lord. Yes. The Lord called me shortly after that to go to Bible school. That's where I met my wonderful husband, Tim. And we married. But I knew that I was for a different purpose. Right. And I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me and recognized it. The last thing that the Holy Spirit will help us do is discover things about God. We will discover that His word is true. This word, this living word is true. Yes. That it is His love letter to us. So we discover that he loves us and that we are his child. I read this verse in Colossians 2:7, and for the first time I read it in the translation called The Message. I had never read it in that translation before, and it came alive to me. It was like a new discovery, and I just discovered it this week. I have read this verse before, but reading into this translation, it absolutely went straight to my heart. It says, "You're deeply rooted in him, and you're well constructed upon him," and this is talking about the Lord. "You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out, quit studying the subject, and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving." Amen. Start living it. Living it. And you know, I really feel like the last, I would say, 10 years that I've really started to live it. And I have to apologize to my children that I didn't always live it being a young mom. But now as a grandmother, I'm living it. I am living it. You have to begin to ask questions. The questions of, am I really living my faith? Ask yourself that. Are my actions matching up with my words, as Stacy shared? Do I really believe what God says is true? Do I believe this word? Am I eating this word to know what's truth, what I should believe, what I should be doing? Am I doing that? Am I doing that? Am I passing on a godly heritage to my children? Am I covering them? Am I sheltering them from the onslaught of the enemy? And you know, I would challenge you moms, grandmothers, foster mothers. I would challenge you to step out, stretch out, ask God to do something in you that is so big that it can only be God that fulfills it.
That's right.
That's going to step up your faith meter. That's going to fill your faith tank. That is going to sometimes take you by surprise. So God, surprise me. Would you do this and this and this? Only you can do it. And let your children see you walk it out in faith.
Yeah. Amen.
It's a challenge that I believe God has challenged you with. Ask me to do something. Ask me, because I love you. I want to pour into you so that you can pour into others, so that you can show others they have a destiny that's far beyond something that they've ever dreamed before. So walk on in faith. Pass on faith, a godly heritage, to those around you.
Good morning, everybody. I just really appreciate what everyone else has shared, and I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to confirm what has already been said. And I want to kind of continue the whole vein of thought this morning by reading a scripture verse that is found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And here the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to a young man in ministry by the name of Timothy. He is been assigned to take care of a church. He's going through a little bit of difficulty. He's probably struggling with a little bit of fear and intimidation because he is not only young in age, but he is young in ministry. And so the Apostle Paul writes him a letter, and it was such an important letter that it made its way into our Bibles, and we're thankful for that. Amen. And this is what the Apostle Paul says to him in verse 5, and he's just speaking a word of encouragement to him. And it says here, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois," and he even names the woman, "and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also." Now, the interesting thing about the scripture to me was that Paul did not mention the faith that was in Timothy's father. And I'm not going to talk about the goods and the bads of that, because how many of us know today that it is important for fathers to have faith? Amen. But I really feel like it's important to mention this morning that if you are a mother that is here today and you live in a less than perfect environment, if you are a single mother, if you have a husband who is not walking with the Lord, that according to the Word of God, that does not matter. Because you can transmit a faith to your children and to your children's children that will override whatever circumstances you might find yourself in. And that is what these two women did in the scripture. There was something that was in grandma that day that was passed on to mother, and that same faith found its way into that young man that God had sovereignly chosen to do a mighty work for him in that generation. And ladies, I feel like this is a word for many of us this morning, that we need to begin to live and think transgenerationally. You know, a lot of times we live and think for the moment. That is very typical of our culture today. If it feels good, then we can just go ahead and do it. If it's something that we want, we can just go ahead and get it, because it's all about right now satisfaction. And yet there is something greater that we should be living for. We should be living for something more eternal, and we should live understanding that there is something of my heritage that I am going to pass down to my children and my children's children, and even in generations beyond. And we do not understand the importance of how we live today. And women, there is a faith that can override the negative circumstances of your lives that you can pass on to your children if you really make the Word of God the foundation to live by. Amen? The Bible tells us that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, it says that a wise woman builds her house. And it actually goes on to talk about how that wise woman builds her house. But it does not say in that scripture, it does not say a married woman. It says a wise woman. And I want you to know, ladies, that even if you do not physically have children, you still have a house which is a sphere of influence in your lives that God has called you to build up for the kingdom of heaven. God has called you to influence people in your lives, and He has called you to leave a legacy and a destiny that will affect others for Him. Amen? Now, we can only do this, and actually everything that has already been said this morning, we can only do that if we make and understand the importance of making the Word of God as the foundation for our lives. What this Word says is what we are going to do. What this Word tells us is how we are going to live. And we are not going to allow any other options to come into our lives. And usually that's what happens. We start doing other optional things, or looking at optional things, or thinking optional things. And it's a conflict with what the Scripture tells us. You know, at the beginning of the year as a church, we began something that was called life journaling. Anybody have one of these? Okay. Now, one of the reasons that we did that was because we felt like it was very important that we learn to sow God's word in our lives and in our hearts on a daily basis. And it's good to come to church on Sundays and to look up at the screen and to see the scriptures on the screen. But I want to tell you something, that it is even more important for us during the week to open God's word and to find out what it has to say for ourselves, for that day, for me personally. It's not somebody else's word that I am living on. And women, I want to tell you, those of you that have faced adverse circumstances in your lives, if you have the power of the word of God working for you, you can override anything that the enemy has tried to put your way. You can override anything that he has stolen. You can override anything that he has killed. You can override anything that Satan has tried to destroy, because you are a woman whose life is built upon the unchanging word of God. And as we live this word and speak this word, God's word will come to pass. You can speak the word of God over your children. And if you're a mother this morning that has children that are not serving the Lord, maybe they're grown children, and maybe this is something that you have not done up until this point, well, guess what, girls? We can start today. Amen. You can start to say, as of this day, I have made a decision that my life is going to be based upon the Word of God, and I'm going to transmit a heritage to my children and to my lineage. And it's important for us to speak the Word of God over our spheres of influence. Amen? That is very important. It's important for us to say, to declare, because the Bible says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we are going to be the people of God. You can look at your children and say, you will serve the Lord, because that is God's promise to me. Maybe you think you can do what you want to do. You might not be serving God right now, but my scripture, my word tells me that you will serve the Lord. And so I'm telling you today, and I'm speaking over you, that you are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is the heritage that God wants us to transmit to our children and to those around us. Ladies, I know women that do not have spouses that are raising their children on their own. And because they have allowed the Word of God to become the center point of their existence, their children do not lack for anything. They don't lack for opportunities. They don't lack for provision. They don't lack for college education, because they have taken God's Word, full of God's promises, and they have put it to work on their behalf. Amen? And we have to understand that in imperfect life situations, that there is something that overrides other people's sin. There is something that overrides other people's failures. There is something that overrides other people's mistakes, and that is God's Word. And if we can allow that Word to start becoming a part of who we are and how we live, then God can begin to do miracles on our behalf. Amen. I also want to say, ladies, that it is very important for us not to ever stop praying, because your prayers have great power. Your prayers can reach beyond your generation. Your prayers can still be at work once you have passed away. Isn't that awesome to think about that? The prayers that you're praying today can be in a work and effective if you leave this earth and die and go to be with the Lord, that God can still answer your prayers. And I want to just tell a quick story, because I think it's easy when we see situations where children are not serving the Lord, where spouses are not serving the Lord, where we are going at it alone. And it's easy to be discouraged by life situations and think, well, other people have a better situation. I'm a victim of this circumstance. I'm a victim of this situation. I just don't have the same opportunity afforded to me. But this overrides all of that. Amen? And God can do miracles for you. And so I want to say, ladies, don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop confessing the Word. A friend of mine, when I was growing up and I was raised in a pastor's home, and this is a girlfriend of mine whose parents were also pastors in the same city where my parents lived, which happened to be Denver, Colorado, by the way. Okay? One night I went to spend the night at her house, okay? And so we were there, and we were in bed and getting ready for bed, and her mom was running around doing all of the time to go to bed activities, which are many. And so she was running around, you know, shutting the lights off and doing the good night things with all of the kids and, you know, locking the doors and everything. And so she happened to come into the bedroom, and she had her Bible opened in one hand and a toothbrush in the other. And she was brushing her teeth, okay? And as she was brushing her teeth and doing all of the good night activities, she was reading the Bible. And so I said to my girlfriend, what is your mom doing? And she goes, oh, she's reading the Bible. That's what she does if she hasn't had time to read it during the day. Now, we thought it was funny, and we giggled, you know, we're two little girls. But that never left me. And what I realized as I grew older, and this woman is one of the most godly women I know, is that she had developed a lifestyle and a discipline and a desperation for the Word of God. And she was determined that at the end of the day, she was a mother with seven children, that if she had not had time to sow the Word of God into her spirit, that even if she had to do it while she was brushing the teeth and shutting out the lights and tucking kids in bed, that she was going to sow something into her spirit that would reap an eternal harvest. Amen? And we need to start, amen, as people of God. And this isn't just for the ladies, it's for all of us today. But as people of God, we need to start developing a desperation in our lives for the Word of God, because that is the foundation that we live by. And I want to encourage you, parents, that your prayers can go a lot farther than you can. And if you have children that are in rebellion, you just need to know that your prayers can meet them where they are at. And I want to close with one more story. Several years ago when I was living in Brazil, before I came back to Koinonia back here, I had to travel to the States to speak in a conference, and I was on my way back to Brazil. I was going back home. And I flew out of Dallas, Texas, and I was on an overnight flight, and I got to São Paulo, and then I was going to get a plane and take it back home to the city where I lived. And so I got onto that flight, and I hadn't slept much all night, so I was tired, and I kind of wanted to take a little nap. And I sat down, and I was sitting in seat 7A. And so I just put all my stuff in the overhead bin and sat down. And this young man, about age 25 or so, he came, and he was sitting in the seat right next to me. So he sat down, and he put his stuff away. And so he said, you know, hello. And I said, well, hi. And he said, were you on the flight that came in from Dallas? And I said, well, yes, I was. And he said, oh, he goes, well, I was watching you. And he kind of winked at me. I thought, what were you watching? And so I said, oh, well, okay. And so, you know, we kind of made some small talk. And he said, well, you know, I said, well, you're going down to Brazil for? And he said, well, you know, I'm on vacation. And I said, oh, really? How did you decide to go on vacation in Brazil? And he said, well, I met some friends in college, and you know, I'm coming down to see them. And he said, I just, you know, heard a lot about Brazil and all the, you know, parties and all the girls, and I'm just going to come down and have a really good time. And as soon as he said that, I thought, well, you know, you've sat next to the wrong person. And so so we talked a little bit more, and he said, you know, well, you know, what are you doing here? Why do you live here? And I said, well, I'm a missionary. And he goes, oh. And about that time, his cell phone rang, okay? And he pulled the cell phone out of his pocket, and he looked, and he said, oh, he said, it's my mom. I need to answer the phone. So he says, hello. He says, hi, mom. Yeah, I made it okay. I'm on my next, getting ready to take off on my next flight. Yeah, yes, mom. I know, mom, I know. He says, no, mom, I'm not going to do anything wrong. In fact, mom, he said, I'm sitting next to a lady right now who's a missionary. And so then he goes, no, mom, she used to live in Dallas. So she lives here right now. And so his mom, he says, he goes, what? And he goes, oh. He goes, my mom wants to know what church you went to in Dallas. And so I named the church, and so he goes, oh, mom. She went to, and he names the church, and he goes, well, that's where my mom and dad go to church. And it was a very large church, so we could have easily attended the same church without ever running into each other. And so then he goes, well, my mom wants to know if you know so-and-so, and named the pastor. And I said, well, yes, I know him very well. He goes, oh, well, my mom wants me to tell you that that's her brother-in-law. And I said, oh, really? And I said, well, ask your mom if she knows these people. And I named some missionaries. And so he goes, oh, okay, mom, she wants to know if you know these people. And yeah, that's my mom's cousin. And so his mom and I all of a sudden start carrying this conversation on about church and about all these ministers that we know and missionaries and everything. And then all of a sudden the announcement comes over the speakers that we need to shut off all of our devices. So I said, well, mom, I need to go. I need to hang up because we're getting ready to take off. So he hangs up the phone, shoves it back in his pocket. And I said, what was it that you said you were coming down here to do? And I said, listen, I just want to tell you something. If your mother is the kind of woman that I think she is, and if she has built her life on the Word of God like I think she has, and if she prays the way I think she does, I said, I just want to let you know your ship is sunk, and you might as well just give it up. I said, because her prayers got to Brazil before you ever made it here. I said, in fact, that's right. I said, in fact, her prayers were so strong that her prayers put me in 7A and plopped you in 7B right next to me so that you would know that no matter where you go and no matter what you do, her prayers have reached there first. And there's going to come a point in your life because of your praying mother when you will have to serve the Lord. And I said, you can go next week and do whatever you think you want to do. And you think you can get away with just about anything. But when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, you're going to remember this conversation. You're going to know that your mother is praying for you. And you're going to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit dealing with you in your life. And because of her prayers, there will come a day when you will serve the Lord. Amen. So, mothers, I want to say to you today, just keep praying. You never know who God is going to send their way, and you have to know that your prayers will get there first. Amen. I want us all to stand to our feet. And in closing, I feel like the Holy Spirit is going to minister to some mothers this morning. If we could just go ahead and close our eyes, I feel like there are mothers that are here today, and you are living with disappointed expectations. I feel like there are perhaps women here today and you wanted to have children but you don't or cannot. I feel like there are maybe women here today and you did not want to have children and all of a sudden there was a surprise and now you're having them and having to deal with them in your lives. I feel like there are women here today who have experienced betrayal. You're raising children on your own. You're raising children alone. Perhaps you're raising children with an unsafe spouse in the household. And I feel like there are women today who are afraid of the future. You are afraid of being able to provide. You don't know what the future has for your family. And I feel like the word of the Lord to all of you today is that if you are a woman who chooses, even starting today, to build your life upon the foundation of the word of God, that he can break through your circumstances, he can break through those situations, and he can do miracles on your behalf, and you can pass down a legacy to your children and your children's children that supersedes everything that you might be living in and dealing with right now, even with your children. Now, if any of you fall into those three categories, I want you to ask you just to raise your hands because I want to pray over you and I want to believe that God is going to release a blessing over your lives this morning. Amen. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. God, I lift up every woman that has her hand raised this morning. Father, and right now I stand and rebuke the devourer that has tried to come in and steal and kill and destroy, that has tried to steal her godly heritage, that has tried to steal her children. Father, we lift up those children that are not saved, that are not walking with you. Father, I pray that her prayers would be strong on their behalf. And God, she would walk out of here this morning with the assurance in her heart that no matter where they are, no matter how they may be living, no matter what they may be doing, that because of her prayers, there will come a day when they will have to serve the Lord, because that is her heritage and that is your promise to her. Father, I lift up women that are betrayed. God, I lift up women that are raising children alone. And Father, I pray that they would know that because of your word, they can be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, and that we can stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, I pray that you would be their provider. I pray that you would be their protector. I pray that the windows of heaven would open and that you would do miracles on their behalf, and that every need that they may have, every need that they will have, will be supernaturally supplied in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for all of us as women that we would be godly women who build our house, that we would establish a sphere of influence and a generational heritage that is passed on to future generations for the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just want to encourage you this morning that maybe you're here today and you have not yet walked with the Lord and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here as a woman, maybe you're here as a man, maybe you're here as a son or daughter of somebody. I just want you to know that God has great blessings for your life when you choose to follow him with all of your heart. When you choose to give Jesus Christ lordship in your life and acknowledge that as sinners we need a Savior and he died on the cross for us. And if you want to make that decision this morning and ask him into your heart as your Savior, I just want to invite you to come forward at the close of this service and we will be glad to pray with you and to minister to you. If you're a mother that is here today and you have specific prayer needs for your children or any situation that you may be living, then we also want to minister to you. So I want to encourage all of you and wish you a happy Mother's Day, and may you go with the blessing and the encouragement of the Lord upon your lives. Amen.
Wow. Thanks, Sandy. Wow. A sister named Lois came to me in the during worship, and she says, I feel like the Lord wants to say something to us, to mothers, and I heard a little bit of it. I didn't feel like it fit right at that moment, but what she said, I know it fits now. It's she said that there's some aspects of motherhood, and I probably, Lois, I'm not saying it maybe the way you would, but this is what the Lord would say. He said there's some aspects of motherhood that has caused a heaviness to rest upon you, and it's caused a weariness. But the Holy Spirit's here today to cause you to leap for joy,
yes,
to leap
amen.
For joy. And that's the way He wants you as moms to go out of this room today, leaping for joy. Just like that person was healed after couldn't walk for so many years, and then he just began to leap and praise God. There's to be a joy of the Lord. That was the first song that we sang. A joy of the Lord that becomes your strength. Don't worry about what has been. It's all based on what can be and what will be in the future. So now we say, I'm your woman. In my case, I'm your man. I'm going to follow you. And if you say that to Him, all of a sudden there's a strength that's imparted and we can become godly women. What the word, Sandy, that you said, Stacy, what you said was tremendous. And Sylvia, just wonderful. Donna, of course, you were the best. That's why I get lunch this afternoon, okay? But it wasn't just for women talking to you. That was God speaking to us today. And I hope you heard that, because it wasn't just for moms, even though it was targeted for you. It was for us too, all of us. And I trust that you've been blessed today. Father, send us away with your blessing, we pray. Elders, prayer teams, would you please come? And if you do have a prayer need, come on forward. Happy Mother's Day. And let us pray for you. Pardon? Oh, yeah, pick up your books and your flowers, okay?